Sippers, welcome to this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with myself, Shane Todd. Before we drink up this episode, let me plug a few things as per. The first thing I'm going to plug is our live podcast, Tea With Me, live in the SSE Arena, 23rd of September. We made a few more tickets available for it. By the time this episode comes out, they may all be gone, and then we have to cap it. There'll be no last-minute tickets. There will be no, oh, we've added 100 tickets. It will be done. It's final. We have Dave Elliott, Kieran Bartlett. If you've seen the live podcast we did at the Waterfront, which was the biggest one to date that we've done, you'll know just that that's a dynamic that works. And there may be some other exciting things happening on the night, and that's all I'm saying. And there'll be a bit of stand up as well. The link for tickets is in the description. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast, where I bring you a bonus episode, aka the special brew, every Monday, which some people become bigger fans of the special brew than Tea With Me. That's all I'm saying. We've created a monster. It's getting too big. Also, we do the live stream episode every Friday with some of your favourite comedians where you can ask questions and join in and all that. And there's early tickets on Patreon. Oh, that's what it is. We are sponsored by none other than Manscaped. Now, there will be a lot of guys letting things go down there. You know, you were getting yourself groomed, and the good kind of grooming for summer, you know. You were getting everything good down there. Maybe you were going on holiday. You were getting a fade down there. You're getting lined up. But now that we're coming out of summer and, you know, autumn's on the brow of the hill, I don't want you to change your attitude. I want you to keep things fresh down there. Keep it shaved, because you never know, the weather's shit at the minute, but we might get a few nice days. And people are going to be calling for you. Oh, do you want to come out? And you'll be like, nah, my pubes are too thick. You know, you might not be able to leave the house. And especially if it does get really warm, it'll be a nightmare down there. What you want to have is just a mowed lawn. So you go to Manscaped. They have all the products you need, and products, quite frankly, that you don't need. Manscaped have, I mean that in a good way, not to cause offence to Manscaped, but they have every product that you can think of. Go to manscaped.com, use code TWITHME for 20% off and free shipping. They've got things for like your beard, if you're a bearded guy like me. You know, they've got products for here, there and everywhere. All right? Go to manscaped.com, use code TWITHME for 20% off and free shipping. I'm also on tour. People are like, will you fuck up? Sorry if I'm promoting myself in some way, but I'm on tour, ShaneTalkComedy.com. Tickets for the Opera House runs are absolutely flying. Dublin, when does this episode come out, Dan? I spoke too fast for my own mouth there.
The 30th of August? Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be in Dublin at the Olympia, which may be sold out by this point, but if it's not, there's egg on my face. You can still maybe get some tickets. I'm going on tour everywhere. We're adding America, we're adding Australia, blah, 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 ShaneTalkComedy.com. I'm very excited about this episode. My guests are none other than...
Mysteries.
Mysteries is going public this week. What is Mysteries? It's the comedy history podcast that I'm doing with Dr. Kieran Bartlett, the professor and the human Ken doll, are teaming up to change the course of history. Really, I know it's a big statement, but that's what we're doing. There's four episodes already out on Patreon, and then they're gradually going public. But if you like it, go to Patreon to get way more of them. They'll go public down the line. They're great. They're really funny. They're something different. My guests for this episode today, Dan, what episode number is this?
229.
We've done 229 episodes of this shit. Whoa, hey, we said it couldn't be done, but we're doing it, 229 episodes. This one doesn't require much. If this was a boxing match, you wouldn't need to trash talk, you wouldn't need to do much promo to get this fight sold, because we have two of the best comics anywhere, and I mean anywhere. Colin Geddes and Patrick McDonnell, two great friends of mine, two just the funniest guys around. I mean, that's it. That's what this episode is. They're going to sit in the new sofa. They're going to christen that, really, for the first time. And it's going to be a nice time. Enjoy this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with my friends and yours, Patrick McDonnell and Colin Geddes. Speaking of traffic jams, Calvin, who's been filming my shows, was talking about a stag he was supposed to go on, but then he couldn't. And he goes, where do you see this video? They got the, you know, like, you know, we're going to stag and the remember, you know, when I see people like getting tarred and feathered or tied up and they throw eggs at them, I always go, that's too far. Like, yeah, that's, there's something about that. They got the groom. This is such a behaviour. They got the groom to wear a Just Stop Oil t-shirt and stand on Portrush Main Street and just stop traffic. And I was like, oh, for like a minute, they went, nah, he was to do 15, but he eventually did 10. See, when I saw, you know when something just gives you anxiety, but you weren't there? There must be 150 cars, and it's at night, and there's obviously one road in, one road out to Portrush, and he's just standing there, and like, all the mates are like hiding behind the wall, and they say he did 10 minutes and he got like two boys came out of a car and got him like fully, like grabbed him and threw him off the road.
What did it say in there?
Just Stop Oil. You know those protests, Just Stop Oil?
Right, okay.
Do you not see those videos on TikTok?
Yeah.
Of like when they stop a road in London? That's just, you can't do that in Belfast. It's never been done.
It's actually not as well known.
No, we used to do it in West Belfast. It was called ratting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack and Bus and stuff. It wasn't anything to do with Stop Oil. It was get the Brits out more.
On the t-shirt.
Get the Brits out more. I love when they put the concrete their hand into the floor.
Yeah.
And you're like, do you know how hard concrete is? You fucking idiot.
The best one I seen was they glued themselves to the tanker and they brought this guy out and the guy was like, but why did they do... And the girl was like, it's to stop oil. And he went, no, I know, but why that one there? And they were like, to stop oil. And he went, that's cooking oil. And he's just laughing. It's a fucking brilliant. Like, he's just like, they can fucking glue themselves out all the month. That's cooking oil. Like,
the first week I was working as a dishwasher in a restaurant, there was a big, massive pot of cooking oil. And I was tidying up. No one had talked me through it. And I didn't know. I was like, I'm not going to be stupid and pour it down a sink. So I poured it down a drain outside.
Smart.
And the restaurant owner was like, that's 50 quid down a drain. They sell it. Some man comes and buys the oil back. Yeah. Were you happy not to go to the Fringe? Or were you... Because I just went for one day. You were there for 2 weeks.
I kept seeing a few wee bits. Like, you know, we were like, oh, that'd be fun. But that's the mind trick every fucking year. You're like, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
And then you're there. Like, I remember doing the full run years ago and going, I'd love to just do this for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Years later, did it for 2 weeks. And I was like, it's way too long.
Oh, I did one day and felt like I'd seen some shit by the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, 24. Because you go and like, you could meet every comedian at the Fringe if you just like tied a fiver to a bit of string and walk down Edinburgh Main Street. Because they'll all come out. Like, no one has money. No one has food. Yeah. You know, everyone's just like at this. It's like the Purge. But I hung about Willie T for
that
the day.
Such a bit, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You're just pulling a fiver up the street.
Just up at the top of the mile. But Willie was just happy to just have a meal. I took him for Nando's and he was just like delighted to be.
I have a picture of him lying on the sofa at the back of our gig at night time.
Yeah, asleep.
With his arm like that.
Yeah.
Like, and I was just like, this is what Edinburgh does to you.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
Gives you cerebral palsy.
He physically stood up and was like. He was like, do you know Mortal Kombat, the end of it? Finish him. Yeah. He was like, I was like, how is he even going to go on stage? But some of the things we done at night time, like for that last gig, was fucking mental.
Because like, that starts at a... Like, I'm all full big ideas, and I was like, I'll do your compilation, Mickey and William, one run. I was like, what time? 11:15? Sweet, we'll do that, then we'll do karaoke, we'll have a few cocktails. At the start of the gig, I was like, Willie, that's just... My hand was going too. I was like,
the first couple of nights we were, and I was like doing the door, so I was pulling people in, going, fill the front row, fucking neighbor going. He was going, your fucking doorman voice scares me. But at the start, we were like running like military, fucking, let's do this, not fucking. See, by about the sixth day, everybody was like, I can't do this.
And yeah. Yeah.
And like, physically got to the stage where I went on, brought Willie on, and Willie's like, just you go back on, Kieran's going to arrive. And I went back on and people was like, right, we've seen you and I'm trying to do material and the audience, it was a full room, were just staring at me.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Willie going, and he's going, he's not here yet. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And it was terrible. It was like the worst experience. Like, I went home that night and I was like, why am I doing comedy? Like, it was that experience.
The highs and lows at it are mental.
And then Kieran turned up with no guitar and no voice.
Yeah.
And went up.
He breakdanced. I was body popping for 10 minutes.
Run the MC.
Walk the MC.
But it was just run the MC in DLA with Willie.
Sit the MC.
But it was the worst gig ever. Like, and the next morning, I sent all them messages. I was like, lads, that's the worst fucking. That's shocking. Like, I can't deal with that. I can't deal with stuff like that.
Yeah.
I really couldn't. I said, the people were staring at me going, the fuck?
The filling time and not knowing when it's going to be up is the worst. When I did that compilation show, it was a great lineup. It was me, Willie, Mickey, Kieran and Vittorio. But there was no MC, so it was like pass the button, so the next person was on. And obviously, because that's free fringe, and people don't know, at the end of the show you have a bucket and people give money into it, whatever they think it's worth, or they had a card machine. So you do that. So Mickey, as the gig's coming to an end and Kieran's on stage, Willie and Mickey run up to the door, so they're waiting with the bucket and the card reader.
Can I just say, Willie fucking lost the card reader one night.
So I heard.
And we got 20 quid
in
the bucket.
Yeah.
Because everyone pays with card.
Yes. But on the way out, Kieran was to finish, but he thought someone was coming back on after him. So he just finished the set.
Walked off, didn't say anything.
And walked off. So everyone's just walking past Willie and Mickey being like, good gig, lads, good gig. And eventually Vittorio ran back up and was like, folks, just to let you know. So they lost out in some money.
I've got six card readers.
Yeah. I was at the end of every night. I was going, it's free in, but at the end here, Snoring Ireland Comedy Show, I says, I put a balaclava on, there's a gun, it's not free, get out.
But Kieran's like, lads, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. And everyone's like, if it was your own show, you
remember. Oh, they had a fucking ballot, the cunt. You'd have done a raffle. Here, folks, there's a raffle for a 10-pack of fucking potato banshee bones, you can't. But me and Kieran wasn't slumming it. We were going and I went and had food with Kieran and Chloe.
Well, Kieran was like fucking Andy Bourdain.
And we went.
he wasn't
slumming it like a wee chip. Like it was days that we were. Mickey would have had to be here. Do you want to just grab a chip here or something? Because I have that.
The Buffalo truck.
Do you know what I mean? It was just like you were just grabbing something and you were going, fuck, I forgot to eat today. Whereas Kieran was like, I'm going to a meal here.
Yeah.
You know, but I went to a dessert place with him after my show. Mm-hmm. And it was fucking unreal. I'd never seen any place like this. Like, this was fucking unbelievable.
Mickey acts like, you know the Buffalo truck, which is just a food truck that Mickey likes to go to? He acts like he's always just discovered it. And that's why he has to go back.
Yeah.
He's like, see this place? I'm going 2 days in a row. You got to check it out.
Mickey told me, it's always cute, this place. And I went, I know you told me that the first day when I sat 7 days in.
Mickey doesn't know you can buy Frank's hot sauce and pour it on anything. I don't know what they're putting on this Frank's hot sauce burger, but it'll fucking blow your mind.
No, but it's one of them ones and somebody does recommend it. I was like, this is going to be amazing. And I got it. And I was like, yeah.
It was fine.
I had it once. I didn't go back.
How many?
I mean, Mickey eats like a fucking raccoon, you know what I mean? You go through a bin, just fucking eating shit. And
I actually just pictured a raccoon being part of there.
How many years ago did you do the full run or a few weeks?
It was the full run. It must have been it must have been like 2014 or 15 or something.
I think when you're like younger and you don't have kids, the fringe is brilliant. The full run is no bother. It's a brilliant idea. Mm. But once you get a bit like comfortable or so, you like your home comforts and all that. It's different. It's so different.
It was like doing a wee stint in jail. That's what it was like. That's what it felt like to me.
Just getting through it.
You're just getting through it. It was just like you were in your own wee cell. You fucking get up in the morning. You went out. You done what you needed to do, and then you were back in the cell at night again.
Plus, you can't do anything at the fringe. You're like, well, if I'm gigging at night, I'm going to write a script during the day. I'm going to be able to edit this. You can't do. You can't describe. You've one show at night for an hour.
It's looming.
You can't
over do anything all else. Day. Like,
and you lose touch with like everything outside of the fringe.
Yeah, and see if you know, like everyone here has children. You know, so like. You're over there with a bunch of fucking wasters and you're sitting there at like 2 o'clock and you're like, should I go wake these cunts up to do anything?
Yeah.
Because I've been up for 7 hours already.
You know, half a day's gone, boys.
I know. Yeah.
Half a day's gone, day's half over.
I'm up and down that fucking castle twice.
Well, I didn't even see any of that. I was like, everybody was going, oh, yeah, it must have been fucking. I was like, I didn't see. I was driving out of Edinburgh and went, fuck, look at that. Taking pictures because. But I was saying to him, like the night before I left, I was sitting there and they're all going, can't believe you're leaving tomorrow. Yeah. But it felt like we were all numb and I was getting.
You're getting early release?
Like they were all sitting there. That's the way they were all just sitting.
Must be nice.
Yeah. You
know? Can't believe you're getting home, my bastard.
Did you, I heard you parked over a like delivery entrance into the Gilded Balloon and got into an altercation.
Fuck. I went and done the fucking Best of Irish in the stand and I was like, I don't know if I'd make this back, and they were like, 17-minute walk, and I was like, none of it's fucking 20 deep of people.
Yeah.
So at the car, so I parked the car, but the closest you could get to the stand was like fucking two streets of it. So I run out. The show went on late, and I run out. And I was literally meant to be on stage at 7:20, and I was 10 minutes away, 7:15. So I drove around, and the spot I normally got, it was fucking filled. And I was like, fuck it. And Gilda Balloon had this fucking big place, and it was like in the entrance to it. I just pulled the car right in front of it. This guy was like, you can't park there. And I went, fucking guy's taking a heart attack. You can't eat. Fuck you.
And <What wrong>. Guy?
Who? The guy? Don't fucking guy.
And I literally abandoned the car. And I went, I'm coming back, and it's away. When I came back, it was just all these people on fucking yellow face. And they're all standing in the car. And they were fucking
having a rave.
And a cop. Like, they're all just standing there. And the cop was just, the car was just left. Right. Like, I actually left the key fucking in the car.
Right.
And I came up and I went, sorry, your man's CERN, we got him sorted, stayed on. And everybody just sort of looked at
me. We took him into the stand.
And I just jumped into the fucking car and just drove away. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know how the fuck I got away with it.
Yeah.
And then after that, I went, right, I need to work potty magic here. So then I went and spoke to a few security guards, brought them donuts. And they got me into the main square, Georgia Square. So I had a key to the gate and I would get the car in and park it.
There's nothing...
potty magic.
There's nothing better than... access, you know what I mean, like handy access into somewhere. At Stenthall, I think I went with Dave and Vittorio maybe a couple of years ago, and there's like an artist car park, but it's beside like the public car park, and we had to go back to do a gig after Stenthall. So I was like, I'm just gonna call everyone brother and give them a big thumbs up. So there's all these checkpoints, because there's a service thing that goes right to this, production trucks go right to the stage where we were performing. So at every checkpoint, I think if you're like confident enough, I was like, all right, brother. And the guy's like, oh, you can't. And I was like, all good. And we just keep driving. So maybe past 5 checkpoints, right at the back of the stage. There's nothing better than just having that extra bit of access.
Do you know what the secret is? You lean forward on the steering wheel and tap your fingers like you're impatient.
Right.
Yeah. You just go like, fuck's sake, come on. You know, like, you know where you're going. Speaking of access, I told this on my podcast, but I'd like you to hear it. Went to the zoo in Tenerife, speaking of access.
Got in the cage.
No. The fucking pulled up, the car park was full, and this guy just got out of his car.
Did you have a car over there?
Aye.
Right.
Faked the worst limp you've ever seen. Like, his legs right apart, like he'd shit himself. And he comes over and he goes, you have a room in the car park? And the guy's like, no, it's full. And he goes, well, I am crippled. And then the guy was like, there's no room for any vehicles. And he turned away and he did about 3 steps with a bad limp and then just straightened up. Like, fucking, and then just walked away.
Kaiser shows
you. Usual suspects.
I only want to see the monkeys.
But it was the worst fucking, like.
I don't even have to do that no more.
Yeah.
Literally with that stamp.
You got. Oh, what? Yeah. I thought you meant with a limp.
No. Like, the great thing is, that's for life.
It's not. 2 years,
get it off.
Covered. Like, fuck.
Get it covered?
Oh, fuck. 100%.
There's a bunch of flames around it. It's just... 2 wings on the side.
Gets a spoiler on the wheelchair on it.
Wheel spins on it.
What's Tenerife Zoo like? Big pimping?
Oh, it's good.
You couldn't get parked.
It's good. Couldn't get parked. No, we did get parked eventually. And, well, we got parked in this space, and this woman pulled up, and she's like, can you move up to let us in? And I was looking at, you know, looking at the space, like, we're going to park on the fucking nose of the car, like, there's no room here. And she was like, you have parked a little bit out.
Right.
I was like, cheeky cunt. But the zoo's good, but, the you know, Eddie didn't give a flying fuck about anything. Like,
yeah.
Got the whole way around, there was like a...
I wouldn't even think of going to zoo somewhere like that.
But there's like killer whales.
No, no, but that's what I'm saying. It's I would never ever think about that, but I'm sitting going to myself, it's fucking probably brilliant.
We shouldn't have went. We shouldn't have went.
Was it too warm?
It was just too big and too much and took too long to get to.
We went to the aquarium in Mallorca. It was shit. It's impressive, like a huge big thing. But it's like once you see the first tank of stuff and you go, that's class.
Yeah.
And then it's more of that.
Sure, we got the whole way around, you know, fucking whales doing backflips, lions, snakes, aquarium, whole shit. Get to the end and there's one of them plastic like golden retrievers you put money in for blind people,
and he loved it.
And he's like, oh, mommy, a dog.
It's like Belfast. So the sunbur is the top at the fucking top of the hill.
The what?
The sunbur.
Right,
it's a type of bear,
and it's not worth a bar. Fucking seeing. So I refused to walk up the fucking hill to see the sunbur.
Right.
And then we went to the zoo one time. It was like Easter and it was fucking chocker black. And Andrew was like, we're going up to the sunbur. And I was like, it's not worth seeing. The cunt doesn't even look out. Like, do you ever see the animals in Belfast Zoo?
He's rude.
Like, no, they're just like, don't give a fuck. Like, there used to be a monkey that smoked in it, which was something to look at. Do you know, like, you used to throw fags in, the monkey smoked. But No, that's true.
You said it like he smokes the fags you throw him. He's not like
he doesn't
in the centre band.
He doesn't throw you out of favour. Go mucker, Twenty Regal, filter. Get the filter. Regal. That's a king says. Don't get king says. They taste different. But you used to throw fags in. This cunt used to smoke, right? So, and that used to be the big attraction.
Did you have to light them for?
Yeah, you had to throw lighter.
No, he lit. He would light the fag. He would fucking light. Two sticks.
Two flint.
We flint. But he used to roll a joint. But I remember that was like the fucking thing. But Andrew was like,
"Oh, smoking a monkey."
Like everybody went to smoking monkey, right? And it was a big saying, saying, "Do not throw Benson and heads in," because he don't like him.
He's on the light.
He's on the roll up. He's like, "Fucking roll ups now, roll ups." But
he's on the vape. He's trying to get off.
The sunburn. So I was like, "We're going up the sunburn." I'm like, "Fuck it," because it's 1 a.m. It's just you're walking up a mountain. Mm-hmm. That's what you are in there. And we get up, and there was this guy, and he had this man was in his say 30s, and his mummy was in the wheelchair, right? And obviously, the two of them weren't right in the head, right?
Obviously,
because he was in the class, and he was going, "Mummy, look at the sunburn. Oh, no. Look at him, look at him." And his mummy's going, "I seen him. I fucking seen him." And he's like, "But look at him now. He's moving his arm." And she was like, "I seen him, Colin. I seen him, right?" I fucking know you're sitting there. Yeah. And next minute, they went to go down the hill. And he let go of the wheelchair. And the fucking wheelchair took off. And he was never catching it. And it was just him running down going, "Mummy!" off this wheelchair. And she got to the wee corner and she hit it. Just straight in the head.
Jesus Christ.
Followed out, and I was like, "That was worth it to see the sunburn."
Monkey's going, "She's fucked.
She is fucked.
Fuck my name,
bro. Fucking hurt on your man, you stupid."
See, if you wanted to explain to people like what a Belfast person's mentality was like, show them the video of the time the chimps actually got out, and this family were just beside it, and the guy's holding the phone. You can hear the audio of him going like, "Oh, I won't give a chimp a wee pack of sweeties or something there." And there's a fucking like 3-year-old walking about and a like adult male chimp.
Oh, I give do not remember this.
Give him a wee sweeties. Huh?
I don't remember this.
It was terrifying.
They got out.
Yeah, it was terrifying just how normal everybody acted.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he was
yeah.
Like, "Give him a wee pack of quavers." You know,
this thing could rip you apart.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole family. Yeah. Yeah. It's the same. I used to work in a zoo show.
Get that in the headlock.
I worked, yeah, and it would have been up in that wee cafe beside the sunbears.
Train the gorillas.
I saw a squirrel eating a Coronado once near Pishmas.
My dad on the wooden roofs in it, so we were in it at night time working on them.
Oh,
wow. When I was fucking 15, 16, I remember working on it. And some of the stories they told us then, like, people worked on it.
Well, remember the guys who were in the got into it at night and climbed up a tree over the, was it over the lions?
There was somebody getting into the lands before in Belfast.
But this was viral before, but it was, you know, it was like terrible phone footage. And they're just out of their heads in a tree that sort of went over the lion enclosure. And the lion's right down below him. He's like, "Look at that." Fucking unbelievable. If I can find it, we'll put it up on the episode.
And when the two monkeys escaped.
Right.
And on the news, your man says, "There was a pair of macaques on there was a pair of macaques in the other road." Remember that?
Paddy, there's 100% being a pair of your cacks in the other road.
It just showed you the two wee monkeys standing down the other road. Like, but they wanted
my face.
I think one of them get hit. I think one of them get hit in the motorway. We're getting 20 Regal for.
I'll be back in a minute. Calm down.
Getting big Frank.
Gonna copy something.
Here, get me 20 Regal. Get yourself something.
The people that get in, that hasn't happened in a year. I feel like that was big in the 90s. People getting in with lions and stuff with a Bible, you know, to try and convert it.
What?
This happened more than once.
In India was wild for it. Do you remember in India? And the fucking thing grabbed your man by the throat and trailed it away.
I think it was one in Germany. I think it happened here. I don't know why this was a craze. Maybe it happened once, but I'm thinking it happened loads. People would get in with lions and a Bible and talk to it. And then
hope
get,
for the best.
And then get... it was. It never worked out.
What are they trying to do? Like, read to the
fucking... It never worked out. The lion never went, "It's not a good point you raise there. Cheers. Well, go about your like business." That. They would just get ripped apart. But when you... Like, what do you mean? What do you mean you heard stories from people?
like really bad stories about the animals and stuff. Like, no.
Well, the polar bear should never have been there. I remember going to see him once, and he was.
They're not even white anymore, you know.
Yeah, he's beige. This beige polar bear.
Nicotine from smoking.
Yeah, no, his head was gone.
But the elephants just stand like that.
Yeah.
Like, they just rock back and forth. I have a video up on Instagram the last time we were, like, and it was fucking sad to see. But then somebody says, oh, they were like that before they got there. And I was like, oh.
That old classic.
Yeah, yeah, they were like that. They were like that when we got them. They were circus birds or something, but...
I told this a million times, but they tell you about the time the guy, who one of the zookeepers, came into the cafe crying.
No.
He was like, oh, I was like, you're right, mate? And he's like, yeah, man, just... Tina passed away there. And I was like, fuck, who's Tina? She worked like the reception or something? And he was like, no, she's a lemur. I'll have a cheesy curry chip.
In memory of her.
Tina loved that.
And what was that, Monkey?
Lambert Butler Lights. And a curry cheesy chip.
She died of a smoking habit. What was wrong with her? Did she die of natural causes? No, she had a heroin addiction.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a zoo. Yeah, I like to see shows. You know, like you went to a whale show, did you?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I don't just like looking in at them.
I mean, like talk about. It was an insight into what it's like to be a punter at a gig, you know. So if I ever do a big gig now, I'm gonna go doors at 7:30. I'll be on at 8:00.
Right.
That's all the time you have. I'm coming straight on at fucking 8:00.
Yeah.
Because these whales, I had the video and the fucking support acts and your man run the bike.
Support act?
And I was just like, get the whale on now.
Aaron Butler doing 15.
Wearing his fucking wee funny shoes.
But he's just playing all these fucking videos in Spanish and showing all these whales in the sea. Like,
I love Spanish radio when you're away.
Yeah.
You just make out the old word and then they're just playing the tune, you know, the Europop tunes.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I regret not going on a foreign hall, like...
Lads one
at the end of the summer. No, not like a lads one. Although I'm organising a stag do for next year, and it was all Ibiza. I was asking you about where to stay in Ibiza and that kind of thing. But more time's going on, I'm like, nah. Let's bring it back a notch.
Go to Portrush.
Bundoran,
yeah. Something more.
Seen Bundoran the other day. When I came back in the ferry to fucking. I'd never been to Bundoran.
Right.
I've been to Donegal all over. I'd never been to Bundoran, but I had a wedding I was meant to be doing. Turned out the fucking bride fucking didn't turn up. So we had come home, and because I was just home, Andrew was running me up. So I booked in the hotel with all the kids. But we were like, we'll just go up anyway.
Yeah.
So we went up and we ended up going to Bundoran. Fucking cost me about fucking 200 quid, a half an hour.
Great Northern Hotel?
No, the fucking the Funfair and the arcade. Like, we spent like 40 quid and we had like 45 tickets and the kids were like, can we cash these in? And I was like, I don't think 45 tickets is going to get this
you
much.
You can't even get a pencil.
It was a fucking 5p Whoppachew or something. Like.
Right.
And I went, and the kids were like going to cry, so I just give the tickets away and went, I'll take you to the shop.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
It's just 45 quid's worth of sweets.
Literally, like, it's fucking 45 quid, you can get them whatever they want in the shop, but it's it's a fucking rip-off, like.
Absolute racket. Me and Mickey did a gig in that Great Northern Hotel once for a stag day.
Was it all right?
Sort of alright, like, but it was about day 3 of the stag there, so boys were asleep across seats and all.
Are you doing...
The funniest bit was the fella that was asleep just fucking, like, just fucking ripped one out. And then everyone was just like, well, what can I do after that?
The unfortunate, you know, like, it tops any material saying, anybody's going to do.
So funny that he done that.
Because I was doing a gig in Lisburn last week in the Work in Progress tour, took a sip of water, and whatever way the air and the water went and my lips went, it made like a funny noise, like a wee frog.
Yeah.
And everyone laughed and I was like, that's better than any of this is going to be. How was your, well, I was talking to you about your shows in Santa Ponsa. Are you doing anything more like that?
Yeah, I might be going back in October to do a boat in Palma.
Now, when he told me about a Santa Ponsa show, you said on the pod, you walked in and there was no stage or anything?
Nothing. And just a bar.
And they just were like, everyone shut up, do your stuff.
And I was like, it was inside a bar plus a terrace. And I was like, this isn't like just putting the musician on and everybody can just listen to the guy in the corner and still talk.
Yeah.
Like, everybody needs to fuck up and they need to be facing you. And they were just like everywhere. And I was like, I'm doing 10 minutes here and then I'm leaving. And I've done 10 minutes shouting.
Yeah.
And I was like, you need to get a PR, you need to get a PA system in. And I was like, I've lost my license, I'm not allowed. And I was like, did you not tell me that before I came over?
Yeah.
You know, before I made the trip.
Do you know what you could almost do? obviously, like, places like that, like, say, in Santa Pons or near it, I'm sure they have some sort of, like, local theatre. Could you actually do a gig?
I don't know if that would work, because I don't know if people are too warm. Like, when we were, it was 35 degrees.
Right.
Are they going to go and sit in a theatre with their fucking kids and all? I think going to somewhere like that, you have to do it. Like, so the next night, I made him move. I was like, get me a fucking thing, and I'll stand and shout through one of them fucking things.
Like a megaphone?
Aye. I couldn't get it.
The way comedy should be.
The way comedy should be. Like, I was just thinking outside the box, like,
where he's from?
Feedback.
I mean, it was Santa Ponza. Most of the set was just fucking up the hoots. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't. You don't have to get it right. It's just you have to say words. And then, so the Saturday night, he moved me to this bar called the Saltswell, and it had a proper PA system. It was fucking organized. And the guy had a sign up saying, no kids while comedy's on. And he had an outdoor area for the kids.
Right.
So it was fucking rammed. Everybody threw their kids in a play park and came in and fucking, I don't know, half an hour. And it was amazing.
Right.
It was like, brilliant gig. And then he was like, no, you're coming back to my bar tonight. And I was like, so I'm doing that the next night. Then the same thing I'd done Friday. I says, I'm doing 10 minutes. And I'm not doing no more. And then on the Sunday night, all the young ones came. And they all fucking crushed into the bar. So it was like a gig.
Right.
And
right,
then you were going, what were you up to last night? And we'd obviously like, I'm 18, what the heck was up to? I says, did you get your hole? And he was like, of course it did. And I was like, good lad. So that was the way the gig went.
Right.
You know, it was like a lad's fucking stag do.
Yes.
That kind of thing. So Sunday night was really brilliant. And it suited just me talking in the bar because they were pushing each other into it. You know, like a train in fucking Tokyo. They were just fucking like, crammed in. It was fucking roasting. It was like a sweatbox. And I done like 25, 30 minutes. And it was just
I want to see amazing. You do a gig on a train in Tokyo. Just at rush hour. They're all like backed in like sardines. Straight up at the front.
But no, I enjoyed it. It was different. It was a different kind of gig. Do you know what I mean?
I speaking of different kind of gigs, I was so jealous about.
They're great when they go well. Like weird
when you
gig.
Pull it off and you this shouldn't work.
Yeah.
The I was so jealous about not being able to do McCarney's festival in Fermanagh. It looked class, especially the Lusty Bag. Like being on a wee island and doing it looked unreal.
I wouldn't know. I didn't get on.
I did a secret spot there.
Was it good?
Aye, it's hammered. Steam,
I think Mark's fell out with me.
Oh yeah,
he's booked me twice to do gigs, and both times I've had to pull out because it was double booked. So he's probably went. I'm not booking him again.
I don't think he has the capacity to fall out. Anybody, like, you know what I mean? Also, he's probably booked about 6 gigs in the last 2 years. You know what I mean?
I love that. Someone was asking me. I think they asked on a Friday Live we did last week. Would like a Belfast Fringe work or a Belfast Festival?
I think it would. I don't see why it wouldn't. Especially the way the scene is now. It was different years ago when they tried to do it. But even years ago when we done it, I always sold out. Like, I went from McHugh's till the Black Box, and that was before. Like, I had fucking 2,000 people following me on Facebook, so it wasn't even like. And it still sold out the Black Box.
Yeah.
So, I think it would
You could work. Do, a, do you know, it would be a week, wouldn't it?
Well, I was going to say, do you know the way Ivy Gardens works? Where it's like weekend. It's like one complex, and there's.
That's the way you would have to do it.
There's about 4 gigs. I was thinking you could probably do that in Laverys.
Yeah.
Like, you could just have everyone pile into the bar and be like, right, 4:30, fucking Paddy's on in this bar, and then that runs onto that, and then we'll run down here and
just
see Shane.
Just the venue the way you would do
like, have
French.
3 or 4 things.
And even in that for, outdoor,
well, you could have an outdoor on that. You could have
outdoors one, the pool room, actual Laverys comedy club, woodworkers. Like, there's venues within one venue.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I think that's the way you'd need to do it. I agree.
As in a weekend?
Yeah,
it would be like probably like Friday to Sunday. Yeah,
that would be class. Laverys,
and then finishing off with a big compilation show, obviously.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
I think with Laverys taking a break, it's like going back to school. I'm like trying to getting new clothes for it and all to come back. Catching up with everyone about their summer.
Yeah, I'm like the teacher who's like, I didn't mark any of these fucking papers for going back. You know, just like stressing out last minute.
I'm buzzing for it to come back. I've missed it a lot.
See, since I was about 13, going back to school was like a nightmare because from that age, I couldn't get a blazer to fit me ever.
Right.
Like, I remember standing, like, some shop in Glengormley did all the fucking blazers for the whole Newton Abbey area.
He's just looking at you.
And the cunt's got the tape measure trying to go around my fucking fat back. And he's like, I don't know where we're going to have to go, America.
You're in a gentleman's tuxedo blazer.
your blazer was a different colour from everybody else in this game.
There was always someone in a navy blazer, black trousers.
It's fucking black. You're like, it's not.
it's a fucking sweatshirt.
I remember somebody coming into school with somebody's blazer from the year before.
Right.
And he clicked on it was his blazer because he had painted part of the podium with the black marker. And the wee lad was like, no, it's not, it's fucking. And he went, 10, yeah, it's my blazer. From it. And then he found and said it, like his name on the fucking thing.
Right.
And the wee lad for the full year got tortured. Ah, oh, your man shop's not fucking charity shop. No, like it was fucking grim. And I remember just saying to him, just fucking burn it. Just burn it. And he went, what do you mean, Paddy? And I went, burn the fucking, lose it, burn it. Do something, just say to your man, I no longer have that blazer. Get her to write a note in the school. Like, I was at the stage where it was doing my balls and he was getting that bullied by it. I said to my man, can we buy him a blazer?
Right.
Can we buy, like, the best blazer going? So he walks in the next day and we're like, fuck you. It was fucking grim.
USB chargers on him.
I felt lava shit. Lamp on him. He got that much fucking grief about it.
I get
one. Meanwhile, the blazer's about £200, isn't it?
I know. And his ma obviously didn't have it, do you know what I mean? Like, fuck up his West Belfast. His ma didn't have it. She was a single parent. So,
one of the worst things that happened to me was I got a brand new Nike PE bag going into second year. Black Nike bag for PE, big white Nike tick in the front of it. My ma wrote my name on it the night before first day of term.
On the tick?
On the white tick.
You freaked out.
Shane Todd, full stop. I was like, you've ruined my life. I was ripping. She's like, you can tip-ex it, and I tip-ex it, and it looked worse because it looked like you'd written it on and it faded. I'd like, my head went like.
That's a good show name.
Yeah.
What?
Shane Todd, full stop.
Yeah. Shane Todd, full stop, but it's pretty good.
That's good.
Because that, and I could talk about how that experience, like,
that back
wrecked my life.
Yeah.
I've never spoken about my again.
Just close on that,
back.
And it's so sad.
That's how Nick
crying.
That's how Nick came up with their slogan, isn't it? Because your mum says, just do it.
Yeah. I gave someone a side Russian leg sweep in first year and ripped his blazer.
God damn.
On the arm. It was a wrestling move.
We used to put tinfoil in the coat of our blazer. We used to line it with tinfoil.
Like to make like a homemade style proof.
In case someone shoves you in an oven.
You're having to smoke, a teacher comes. I used to not panic. I used to just fucking put it into the fucking blazer pocket and just stand there.
Right.
And the teacher was like, are you smoking? And
yeah.
He's like, no.
Yeah, he's like, no.
Yeah.
Looking like he's about to walk out of the X Factor.
Just tinfoil in the pocket. Like, I used to love it. This fucking bang in there. And he used to be like, oh, the class. And he used to be walking around all fucking, you're fagging. And people's going, it's going to go far. And I'm like, it's not.
I ripped this guy's blazer doing a wrestling move on the side of a locker. And he's like, you need to buy me a new blazer. And then his ma went, it's okay. And sent him in. And she put like, so say it was ripped there. She gave him like a black armband, you know, like a pull, you know, like almost like a captain's armband, but it was all black, and he wore that the whole term. And he was raging, like he just looked like he was wearing it in respect of like whoever died that week. You know, he just always pulled on the black armband.
Should have put a wee swastika on it.
Yeah, should have. I hated going back to school.
Did you? I was at the stage always where I was like, I can't wait to get back in and see the boys because I fucked about in school. That's all I done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So to me, it was just, I need to get in to tell everybody what we'll get up to in the summer.
Yes.
And then after like a week, you were like, fuck this, Alex.
I hear
the clock again. Did you ever look at the clock in school and go, this is fucking forever?
Yeah.
I used to do it all the time.
It was, there's no need for school to be that long. But then when you get older and you realise school is just like childcare for parents.
Yeah.
It's so people can go out to work.
I'm going
to
be the worst parent when Eddie gets older, like. Because I'll be like, nah, no, you don't have to take any.
Yes. Yeah. Smoke, give him fags. Put tinfoil in your pocket, you'll be all right.
I'll be ringing in and be like, he's got COVID. Do you remember COVID? Yeah. He's got that.
He's a way to see the monkey smoking in the zoo.
Paddy, see when like your kid does the first
Belfast
day.
Belfast Bigfoot, that's what that is.
The first day of school. Is it like a bit, you're taking photos of the doorstep and all that? See, by like the fourth kid going to school, is it as big an event?
No, it's still the same. Like, maybe girl's going to Neeskull, which is the nursery, next Thursday. I can't wait. She's the mad one in the house. She's the one that's just like a UFC fighter. Like, she just comes in the room, strips off, and the whole room goes, oh, fuck. She's nuts,
right?
She's going to school, and we're at the stage now where we're going, oh, God help the school. But we're not realising, like, the school will just pick the phone up and go, you need to come and take this maniac.
Yeah.
And get them the fuck. But no, it continues. It's just the same. Like, this
unprofessional school.
There's just the same photograph. And the mad thing about it too, I torture fucking my wee lad at school. Like, you know, like, you have to do this and you have to do that. And he just looks at me and goes, are you insane? Right. I know about you.
Yeah.
Like, it's famous.
Yeah.
About you. You went to a school that you didn't go to for a week.
Yeah.
And you're telling me about behaving in school. Like, who the fuck are you to tell me to do anything? And he's right.
Yeah.
He's fucking right.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part when you become a daddy. You have to become a daddy. I know you're saying, oh, it'd be cool and all that, but when you get older, it's different.
Yeah.
Like, I'm coming to the stage now, my wee girl's fucking starting to run about wee boys now. I'm starting to think about shooting 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, who the fuck is this cunt? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Get the fuck away from my daughter. I'm my daughter, you wee bastard. Do you know?
Yeah.
You're fatting them. You're actually fatting them. And I'm going, could I imagine me turning up back in the day? Like, her many daddies were like, get that cunt away from his door.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. So many daddies. Time's going by very quick, I feel. Like, as now that the kids are 1 and 3.
As you get older, that happens.
You just want, at the start, it's like, hurry up and like be older and like be able to walk and talk and all that. And only like this week almost, I'm hitting that point where I'm going, this is all like way too quick.
Yeah.
I don't want them to like.
And once you get older, it's when it gets hot. You think it gets cooler?
I thought you were about to break down there.
It's, it does get harder. Like it's they don't want to sort of know you. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, we're at a weird stage where our evening's 13 and it's dead cool that I'm her daddy.
Right, right.
But our Padraig's at the stage where he's like, I'm Scottish, you're my dad on TikTok.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, my mate's fucking slagging the bellies out of me and all. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, it's a weird stage.
And I'm
hoping that it's going to get maybe in a couple of years where, you know, he's not legging. Like, I'm going to emerge this weekend. He's going to. I don't give a fuck. And I remember back in the day, and a mate and his dad used to go to all the raves, and I used to go, he's fucking brilliant. And when I look back, I go, well, he wasn't really.
Yeah.
He wasn't really. He shouldn't be.
He was 47 at Scooter.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I just like the idea you're performing at Emerge with a megaphone in the middle of it.
I know.
Crush it.
Me and Ben Nicky. Carl Cox, what's happening?
Yeah, well, you're not cool anymore. Like,
it's mad, it's mad. Like, it's mad. Yeah. I think it was when we done the waterfront, they done the panel show.
Yeah.
They were all at David Guetta. And because Evie's starting to go now, she's 13, I was like, I'm going up. I'm fucking going up. I'm coming straight up after.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're all right. And Andrew was there with her niece and stuff. That's fucking dead on. We're watching. I'm coming up. And I went up, hat, fucking North Face jacket, fucking, or Stone Island jacket, fucking sipped right up the top in amongst the crowd. No, nobody recognized me. Fucking sweet. Walked out the front gates and all. And Alan from Shame is going, just come out the back gates. I mean, no, we'll walk out the front. The kids want to walk out. Walked out, nobody recognized me. We got the Dunn Stores in the Armour Road where the cars parked. Some mab was in the car. Looking out. There's Paddy McDowell. Fucking pounced out in her jammies, getting a photo. Free for all. Free for all. Like, it was fucking scary. It was like, what?
Yeah.
Pull my hat off. Fucking right. Paddy. Fucking all these kids. I was like, oh my God, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then the car, we couldn't get out of the car park for 45 minutes because of traffic.
You were selling diagram merch out of the boot.
I'm just sitting in the front seat like that, in the window getting that. I'm just like, I got a photo. He's like, fuck's sake.
Like Messi leaving the fucking training ground or something.
It was fucking Messi, you're right.
Did you get
wee man the car, Paddy McDowell?
Yeah. Oh, did you get recognised in Tenerife?
Oh, yeah.
Out and about in Tenerife?
It's weird because people would quietly say nothing like at the resort, and then when you all meet up again at the airport, they're all fucking
yarning
away. Yeah, getting photos, got mobbed a bit getting off on in Tenerife.
Right.
Off the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a load of photos taken.
Does Eddie know what's happening?
He don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He grew up with it.
And he's a lunatic. Like, I'm chasing him. Like, he's 3 and a half and suicidal by the seems of it. Like, you know, just like fucking trying to run in front of traffic, jump off shit.
Yeah.
Jumping it, like fully sprinting off without the armbands on into the pool and jumping into not water.
Yeah.
You know, like a step, but full jump, like gink. My knees. Up the balcony, fucking
Johnny on tiles
and all. I was just, you know, when you get on the plane on the way home and you're just like, have you had any morphine at the back there? Fucking
people don't realize, like, it's fucking. That's how he said when we were going away this year. Andrew was like, we haven't been away in years, and I'm like, we've 2 infants.
Yeah,
this isn't going to be a fucking holiday. Like. Mm-hmm. But we were lucky where we went was really, really good.
Yeah,
we picked
yeah.
a good hotel for it, and it was really, really good. But it's like, it's just watching your kids only in a warmer environment,
yeah. sweating,
and every cunt's naked.
Yeah,
do you know, it's like
And there's why'd you take the kids to a nudist beach?
Well, it's part of my thing. Isn't it? But it's one of them ones where you just, and then this year I had that. So even if they didn't know who you were,
yeah,
they were going, why has he got a disabled badge on his fucking leg?
Yeah.
And obviously I heard a fella, like a couple of English ones are sitting there, and the fella's like, look at him.
Yeah.
Look at him. And I was actually more annoyed that he went, look at him, because he was sort of implying he looks disabled.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it was so many English people like, why do you have a disabled badge on your leg? And I was like, why do you take over my country? You answer me that, then I'll answer you mine.
Gets frosty at the buffet, like.
It doesn't really. Leave you alone.
Did you have any mad interaction in Edinburgh? Like, you know, out and about during the day? I imagine you don't like to be flyered. You know, people coming.
No, if somebody came up to me with a flyer, I was going, listen, I'm a performer too, but thank you very much. So it was dead nice about it.
Right.
And I genuinely got good response from it. There was a junkie came up to me, but the junkie's number next to that. What?
He flaring?
He was flaring. Like, the mad thing about it is there's people actually pay demons to flare too.
Right.
And your mom was obviously fucking full of cat. I don't know if you've seen Willie Thompson's flare, did you?
No.
Like, when I met Willie's flare, I was like, fair play to you, supporting your people. And he was like, what do you mean? And I went, like, Sean's not there. And he was like, oh, I know. But he was actually a brilliant flyer.
Right.
But by the end of it, he was like, well, he does stand-up. And I was like, yeah. And he says, I've been to see him. And I was like, yeah. And he says, I'm going to do stand-up.
Oh, no.
And I was like, go for it. Well, he's like, stop encouraging him. But I was like, well, he went to see you and was like, I can do what he's doing.
I was decent at it. I used flyer for Chris Kent at the Fringe.
I flyer for you. When we were in Edinburgh one time.
You weren't doing the Fringe. You was just...
No.
Was it when you all just landed over?
We just landed over. Me, Chrissy Bowes and stuff like that. Yeah. Chrissy just came over and went, here, I'm a flyer for Colin's show. What, you were doing a similar wee venue?
It was the exact same venue.
Was it?
Oh. They might have... The name was the same, but they might have... Was it still a wee porta-cabin thing?
Yeah, it's a wee like marquee thing. But it was in a different spot because you were in like the courtyard.
Yeah.
Whereas I was in Georgia Square.
Yeah, it was the same
thing. I imagine your tactics for flying were, you're coming to see this.
Do you know, see when I was flying, I mostly went for older couples, like a wee man and woman, and then just charmed the bollocks out of them.
Right.
And most of the time they were English, and they were like, we're coming to see you because you actually are funny. And
did you fly your own show as well this year?
I'd done like 5 days of it, like a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Just to try and bump it up, but... I realised that flaring wasn't getting me anywhere. Even like the guys who were doing flares, because I was asking, the first question at the show was, did anybody get a flare today? And they were like, no. I used to just walk about and look at the ground and I went, mine is the only flare that you don't see in the ground. People aren't getting flares because they're not fucking them away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and everybody would laugh because if we walked up, you seen everyone's flares apart from mine.
Right.
So there was nobody fucking doing their job for me. The comp was throwing it in the bin. I don't give a fuck. I did go about looking the bin.
I'd love to know how much it actually works like. It usually works, say, about half an hour before the show, you just stand in the immediate area with, like, a row of people and just go, this is starting in a minute.
Because there's people that are like, I don't know what to go and see. So, as he said, you could just, and they go, fuck it, mum, just go and see this.
I would
it's
just
right
do that.
There.
The intense bit of, like, you can come
and
see this.
I don't think you're going to get a flyer at, like, 11 in the morning and be like, oh, 10 to 10 tonight, no. Brilliant.
Yes, exactly.
Let me put in my calendar.
Yeah, you know? Most people went to my show were travelling up from Glasgow.
Right, right.
Or, like, I had all the footballers to play over there, Conor McManaman and all them, as they all came together. Michael O'Neill, the fucking ex-Northern Ireland manager, he came. Anthony Boyle, the actor. So it was all people like that that was coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's high-profile ones that you can imagine. But, like, there's loads of people who live over there now or who are married over there, and they all were going, we're going to see him. And they were bringing their mates with them.
Yeah.
So I don't think the Flyers done anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's all like, yeah, like you say, like you need a brilliant flyer. You need someone who's absolutely mental.
Yeah,
who's great.
Foyle Arms and Hogs, the guys that do the flyers for them, are the fucking best I've seen.
Right,
them and Off the Curb. I watch them and flyering, and their flyers, they know the show, and they fucking sell the show. So it's like you need a salesperson more than somebody just going.
Yes,
no.
I could see McCann being unbelievable as a flyer.
Oh yeah. Well, sure, he's shameless, like, you know what I mean? You just send them in anywhere.
Yeah.
I remember when I did the full run years ago and Maureen Sisters and all come over and just give a big stack of flyers to Susie, who was about 17 at the time.
Right.
And she came back about 20 minutes later, like, that's them done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just some weirdo running about, just going, bang,
but
that's
the thing. Like, That's what I was just scared of. Like, if somebody's going to hand a fucking busload of Japanese tourists my flyer, they're not coming to the show.
Yeah.
Let's face it, they're not coming. They're going to go.
That whole train slag.
Ha! See Paddy in Tokyo! Ha! I seen you on the hyper train!
It's a good show name, though. I just don't look good. Like, imagine turning the corner on a wee cobbly street in fucking Edinburgh and I'm just standing there with a stack of paper. Like,
the mad thing about him was, I actually was on billboards in China for a tool company. So they
came, hang on.
They done. Hang on. There was a Chinese tool company, right? And they came over to
Schwarzenegger.
They came over and they were taking pictures of us using the tools on the sites, and they fucking used me on the billboards.
Wait, how long? Using,
2016, 2015.
Right.
So they came on site, and it was the this is our brand, and we're just trying to get like Irish looking people using the tools.
Yeah.
To sell them, because back home, people in China won't use them unless they're like, oh,
no, international.
These Irish builders use them because right. They know the Irish builders, right?
Yeah.
So they were using, and because I had the ginger beard and the fucking all the gear on, so your man took photos and then it was like, can we go out? And then got the stage where like they done photos of me in front of a forklift wearing a waistcoat and all. Like it got the stage where it wasn't like, it wasn't clothes that you would wear on the site right. And all. And I was like,
Paddy's in a tux with an orbital sander.
It's turned it. But I had the photos up on Instagram.
It's like a Shaolin monk.
Yeah. The guy was like, where did these get put up? And then your man sent us thing and he's like, hey, oh, you're, and I was on a fucking billboard like in the middle of fucking China.
Could you imagine going over to China just on like a trip, you know, being like, this is wild. You've had a few pints, you walk in, it's just like Times Square. There's Paddy in a waistcoat.
I was hoping that I'd get an advertisement. You know, do you ever see when somebody like from America, like a wrestler done an advertisement? Do you ever watch like a Chinese or a Japanese?
Oh,
like,
and then
Schwarzenegger, like Schwarzenegger's like, doing
mojo, mojo, and they're
drinker.
I was hoping to get that stage, but it didn't.
Yeah.
But it's still funny that I was up on a billboard in China with a tune.
Do you know, like, I think it was the Chinese government paid Dave years ago to use his podcast for AI to train it in like the Northern Ireland accent, and he didn't have to, he just gave them permission to use an episode of his to feed into this thing.
So Dave's voice is AI?
Yep. Chinese people are hearing like Dave's voice is like Northern Ireland.
He has that neutral sort of voice.
Yeah.
Not taken away from Dave, but he doesn't like, they're not going to use me, you know, they're not going to say AI, make a Chinese man talk like he's from Belfast, and the fucking thing goes, I bet you fucking ball, bet you. Do you know, it's not, they're not going to use that.
That actually was Chinese.
sort of Chinese West Belfast.
I love that. I would just love to see that, you around the world being used for different advertising campaigns.
That's a fetish you have. That's,
yeah,
that's your only thing. Get an idea generated for you.
Just bring Dave. What's your next big gig?
Mine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm doing a wee tour here in September. So it starts in Vicar Street and then the usual hotspots.
Are you doing any what you've never done just for the crack?
Not really.
Have you done Vicar Street before?
Oh, yeah. Well, Vicar Street's the main one I haven't done before.
That's the one I'm jealous of. Like, yeah. I would love to do Vicar Street.
It's like a giant living room.
Yeah.
You know?
I would love to do Vicar Street.
Again, just taking a swing. Just fancy doing it.
Fucking
see what the crack is.
I'm thinking about Cork. Thinking about doing a Cork.
I'm doing my first gig in Cork in October, which is mental because I was saying that I wanted to do Cork on a fucking podcast. I don't know whose podcast it was, and this guy just fucking booked me for it.
Sorry, I just quietly threw that all over myself.
So this guy's booked me to do it. So it's not even, I don't even have to take a gamble. Like, your man's just paying me to come down to his bar.
Which one is it? Do you know?
The Heart Bar in Cork.
Oh, okay.
So it's part of some festival or something. So he's just like, here's the fee, and this is what, I'm like, fuck, it's not even a punt.
And are you doing any work anywhere else out of the ordinary coming up?
No, doing the SSE, obviously. And
the Beijing Fringe.
The Beijing Fringe. The Tokyo Fringe. Nowhere really. No. I'm planning to go to Australia, and I'm planning to go to America, but nothing's been.
When's your SSE?
The 8th of September. So that's
the night I'm in Vicar Street.
Is it?
And then I'm in the SSE 30th of September.
Is it weird having loads of time in between the SSE shows? I think I'd hate that.
I prefer if they were both at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it's been too long now where I'm going, I need to go back and watch the show.
Yeah. Because even I had a week in between mine when I did it. And I felt like I was like, oh, I wish it was just the next night.
I also don't think I'd do much better than the first one. It was that good of a night that I'm going to myself. Right. How am I going to... But I will, like, but it's going to be different because the first one, obviously, was the birthday and the tattoo happened that week and there was loads of things that's not going to be in this one. Near enough, people can go to this one because there'll be a lot of it.
What did you think of doing the arena for the first time? Like,
couldn't believe it.
What you would think it was like compared to...
I couldn't believe it. It is actually... He was the first one I seen out of all of us doing it. And I was like, this is fucking class setup. Loved it. And I was like, no, this is really, really good. When I'd done the waterfront, I went, I don't think the SSE is going to be as good. But when I got on the stage of the SSE, I thought it was amazing. Yeah. I just loved it. I was like, this isn't... Like, I can do crowd work and I can fucking do whatever I want there.
I know, because people are always like, what's it, you know, do you have to change up your style? And like, put, and you're like, no, it's just fucking better because there's way more people.
Yeah. And it was just like that. I mean, I loved it. I mean, I was able to do crowd work and it was just, here's me, yes, it's just...
You're doing your normal set it was just in a normal, bigger environment.
It was just unreal. I just loved it. I loved the feeling of it. And somebody says, you'll not like the feeling of it, but I did. And I was like, do you know what? No, I like this.
Yeah.
And I thought I might end up going back to Waterfront, but I actually went, no, I like the arena. Like,
did you do an after party?
Yes, we had like a birthday party for me because it was on my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
In Tain Square.
That's right.
And it was fucking amazing. If you've never seen this wee room at the top of it, like there's a wee room on its own, it has balconies that look over the fucking City Hall. It was fucking great.
Can you stay up late?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because every other big gig I've done and tried
by the time you
to
get
go,
there,
go full send, they're like, right. Lights come on.
There was a guy came in at 1 o'clock and was like, turn the music off now. And I think somebody grabbed him and went, we're from West Belfast.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't care, music's coming off, so am I or something.
Right.
And then that was it. Like,
yeah.
What they get told off. But there was people in the hotel actually were at the gig, heard the music, came up thinking there was just a bar and then walked in. So I was like standing out in the balcony and some fella and girl was like, we were at your show and I were at your birthday party.
Oh, they snuck in.
And they just get in. There was nobody stopping them, but nobody knew about it. It was like only close friends and family. It was like a surprise for me sort of thing.
What's your rider for the SSE shows?
I asked for 5 bottles of water.
Showbiz bastard.
That was it.
Outlandish.
5 bottles of water. I didn't even ask for them. It just says make sure there's water.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't sit out the back. And I remember for the waterfront, I went out and bought all the fucking stuff because, like, if you ask them to put in a packet of M&Ms and a fucking thing of Coke and a thing of that, your rider's £200.
Yeah.
I could go and buy it for £30.
Oh, I bring a multi-pack of water.
So what I done was I went to, I'm a liar, I went and got taboo donuts for everybody. Front of staff, back of staff, and I put a set in the dressing room. And I done that in the SSE arena, and then I went to Nando's. And paid for it online, and then the girl gave me the money back. She's like, you're playing the arena tonight, Foxy. We'll give it for now. Shane Todd doesn't have a card, by the way. That's what she said to me. But I don't really have it. I'm fucking...
I keep it pretty low-key, too. You know?
I don't know anybody with a big rider.
We only really had a sports massage girl, the girl doing the yoga, the fella making the cocktails.
He gets massages before
this. And a couple of other things, you know what I mean? But that's it.
Yeah,
the trainer, the guy with shoes, the DJ, but like keeping it.
Will you keep doing that? Do you think the DJ?
Amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And even like the last time I did the arena, people were filming other people in the crowd, like fucking up dancing.
Do you
and all, like,
do you have a DJ on?
John Boy does all my gigs now.
Brilliant.
I think that's classic, dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
I put a lot more effort into the pre-show playlist than the show.
Does that cost a lot of money to have him on? Like.
Yes, he gets paid a lot of money.
I mean, PRS, like, for fucking...
Nah, don't worry about that.
No, sure, it's just run another lead over the side. The PA is already there. They just take another line out and put it into him. It's no big deal.
SSE is class because it's also like the... When you drive over the bridge and you look at it and go, that's where I'm doing the show there tonight. Like, that's wild.
I actually never ever thought about doing it. Like... Do you know why people go, I always just says, if I headline the feel, I'll be happy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I remember like doing it and then went, right, now I've done it. If I headline this, I'd be happy. I've done that. So the SSE, like, I never ever looked at it and went, fuck.
It's on your list or whatever.
I never thought, like, fuck a player. Do you know, I remember being in your house And you told me you were going to do it. You were like, keep it on low key. But I'm thinking about, because you, where had you done? I don't even know if you'd done the waterfront, had you? You'd done the Ulster
Hall. I haven't done the waterfront ever.
You'd done the Ulster Hall, and then I was at your house doing a big bit of work, and he says to me, I'm thinking about doing the SSE. And I remember going, like a wee bit of panic attack. I was going,
you get that for the, because I told, when I told you I was doing Mandela back in the day, I remember you going,
do you know,
like in a friendly way, you were like, have a think if you really want to do that.
I remember you doing the Ulster Hall. Like, I remember you doing, yeah, and freaking out for you because it was like culture night. Do you remember?
That's right.
And I was like, fuck it, culture night.
12?
Oh, bro. I hope he's all right doing that there. And then it, when you told me, like, you were like, no. Yeah. Like, because you were sitting, there was 5 tickets left for your show at night or something.
Right.
And you were like, I was going to get my dad to run out and buy them.
My, no, my dad said he was going, yeah, to. He was like, I nearly bought them.
That's what was. Your dad says, I'll go out and buy them just to say, but it sold out anyway.
Because there was people, saw a queue of people and went.
And then joined it.
Let's go into that.
And it worked out for you. So I think it's, yeah, at the start you're sort of panicking a wee bit.
Fela was on, I did a special guest for Kieran, for Fela. It's unreal.
And you walked out, big pop.
Yeah, but it was just, it was a class gig.
Yeah.
Because there's such a thing, of, we've talked about it before, with Fela, people are like, it's mental and all, and it's like, you can't get your material out and it's so rowdy. It's perfect. It's like, they're up for it. It could get rowdy, but if you're on your toes, it's
the best gig you'll ever do.
It's like, you're keeping the lid on, yeah, in the best possible, and that's exciting. Because you're, I'm like, if I fuck
on
up here,
I'm doing hard on tomorrow night, and genuinely, I wouldn't put you or anybody through it.
Is this the one you did? It was supposed to be like 200 people. There was like 700.
The whole estate was in it. Like, I'll tell you the funniest bit was last year when I done it, I was wearing all black.
Where is it? What's the venue?
Crumlin Star.
Right.
So it's right in Ardoyne. So last year I went over to do the gig and I said, well, like, I'll just meet you there. And when I pulled up, there was that many cars parked. I had to park like down the street in the middle of Ardoyne. And because of the way the driveways and all are, I was like, fuck, I may wrap this door and say, it looked like they didn't use the driveway, but it was the only spot I could get. So I opened the gate, and the girl opened the gate, and she went, look who it is! And I was like, what about you? And she's like, come on, come on! And I walked into the house, and it was her and her elderly mother sitting there, right? And she was like, oh my God, what about you? I haven't seen you in ages. And I was going, have I met these things before? And I was like, look, it was just, I parked the car. And they were like, never mind that, sit down and get a cup of tea with me. I really don't have time. I have to go up. And then I clicked on. They didn't think it was, they didn't know me. They thought I was the old priest in Ardoyne, Father Gary. And they brought out stuff for me to bless. And I was like, I'm not. And they were like, no, sit down. And I was like, I'm not Father Gary. And they're like, what? And I was like, no, I'm not.
You're in a Celtic tracksuit?
No, I was wearing all black. I was
wearing, I'm Father Paddy. No, what about that money?
I did do a mass for them, but but it was weird that they thought I was, and I couldn't get out.
Right.
And then when they were like, what? And I'm like, I'm not Father Gary. I'm a comedian. And they're like, what? And I'm like,
why the fuck are you in our house?
Yes. It was like, it turned very, so who are you? And why are you here? And I was like, I was only coming in to say about parking out the front.
Yeah.
And they're like, right. And then the girl was really strange with me and like got me out the door. And I got up to the gig and I was late. So when I got up, then I had to tell everybody. And when I said they thought I was Father Guy, the whole place flipped and right, collapsed.
Yeah.
Because they went, and the whole place went at the same time, you fucking do. And I was like, fuck's sake. So it was weird, but it's mad because like it was the first time we'd done it, Darren Matthews was doing MC and he goes out.
Oh, that's right.
And that was the whole thing. He was like, right, everybody, please try and calm down. The place is fucking bouncing. And somebody went, fuck up. And Darren was like, be nice. And the guy went, fuck up, please. I got Willie to say it. And I was like, Willie, this is the only way you can do a scary game. I mean, I've done gigs like this before. I says, you go out there like a gun, like you're fucking shooting people. I says, just go out there and go, ba-bang, ba-bang, ba-bang. Just fucking get through it. 30 minutes of material, do it in 15 and get the fuck off. And he was like, right. Well, he went out, it was just like, bah, 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 and they were like, argh. And it was, he was like, that was mad.
Yeah.
As a gig.
Yeah.
But it was fucking brilliant.
Do you know what would be 10 out of 10 when you do it this year? Same Father Gary on. As you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd have let on.
Mm-hmm.
It's tomorrow night. Wonder could we arrange it. I think he's in a different parish now, you see.
All right, relocated. Mm-hmm.
Moved on.
Say no.
Location.
All right. Well, look, lads, cheers for coming on. I'll wear shorts next time.
My pleasure.
It's been...
We're going to just flex our quads in the car park.
A 90s fucking Mr. Motivator fucking.
Aerobics.
That's right.
What date's Fixer Street? 6th? 7th?
8th of September. SSE's 30th of September.
SSE. And the 8th of September in the SSE. 17th of September in Laughter Lounge in Dublin.
Never played there. I'd like to.
It's great. Great venue. And 30th of September I'm in Leicester Square Theatre. You've both done that, haven't you?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm doing that again this year.
And then up to Scotland on the Sunday, which is October the 1st, doing The Glee in Glasgow. Nice. You're doing that?
Yep. I've never done it before, so I hope it's good.
It's meant to be amazing.
Sweet. Boys, thank you very much. Thanks everyone for watching and listening.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea With Me, you love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly 1,000 hours of content. Tea With Me Patreon, which is patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.